This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah. After speaking about our ways towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and our ways towards the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the question now is, what comes next? What should we perhaps speak about? Yeah. Makes sense. And the reason is because, from the many reasons, Imam al-Dhahabi, in his book Al-Kaba'ir, he has a phenomenal statement that he relates attributed to Abdullah ibn Abbas, who said, ثَلَاثُ آيَاتٍ نَزَلَتْ مَقْرُونَةً بِثَلَاثٍ لَا تُقْبَلْ الْأُولَى بِغَيْرِ قَرِينَتِهَا. He said that there are three verses from the Qur'an that were revealed in pairs. Three instructions in the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that appear in pairs. He said, Allah Almighty will not accept one of them from you unless you deliver on the other. They're like twins that call for one another. They are inseparable. The first of them is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأَطِعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِعُوا الرَّسُولَ. Obey Allah and obey the Messenger. He said, so whoever obeys Allah Almighty and does not obey the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, then his obedience to Allah will be rejected. The second one is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ. Establish the prayer and give out the charity, the zakah. He said, so therefore whoever establishes the prayer and does not give out the zakah, his salah is rejected. What will be the third one? Who knows? Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, anishkur li wa liwalidayk. Allah said, show gratitude to me and show gratitude to your parents. La ilaha illallah. Ibn Abbas says, therefore, whoever shows gratitude to Allah but does not show gratitude to his parents, then his gratitude will be rejected. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places the mother and father a second place to himself subhanahu wa ta'ala after the obedience to Allah Almighty and gratitude to him and obedience to the way of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and no doubt gratitude to him. The mother and father, they occupy this status. So it makes perfect sense that we now embark and continue our journey speaking about our ways as Muslims towards our parents. And you will see the markers that make us so different as an ummah. Nations that claim to be advanced and first world and developed with technological prowess, it's within those same nations where you may see an elderly parent standing at the bus. And all of the young men and women are sat down, no one bothering to ask this person if they would like to come and take a seat. So let us see what our ways are and how they look and how they contrast to the ways of others. In the famous hadith that almost every Muslim will come across during their life, the hadith which a Muslim narrates on the authority of Umar, that angel Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam engages in a conversation with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asking him a series of questions: what is Islam and what is Iman and what is Ihsan and when is the Day of Judgment? And the idea of this conversation was to educate the companions who are listening about their religion. One of the questions that Angel Jibreel in his human form asks the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam is, أخبرني عن الساعة. Tell me, when will the Day of Judgment be? And the response is, both of us do not know the date of that. Angel Jibreel, he gives him a second question, أخبرني عن أماراتها, then give me some of the signs that the Day of Judgment is near. And he gives him two signs. The first of them is not so clear the first time you read it, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him, sign number one, أن تلد الأمة ربتها. A sign that the Day of Judgment is near is when you see a slave girl giving birth to her master. What does it mean that one of the signs that Yawm al-Qiyamah is near, the slave girl will give birth to her master? There are several opinions. Ibn Hajar in his Fathul Bari mentions at least four, and he gives a preference to the fourth opinion. What does it mean? He said, وَالرَّابِعُ the fourth opinion, أَنْ يَكْثُرَ الْعُقُوقُ بَيْنَ الْأَوْلَادِ فَيُعَامِلُ الْوَلَدُ أُمَّهُ مُعَامَلَةَ السَّيِّدِ أَمَتَهُ بِالْإِهَانَةِ وَالضَّرْبِ وَالسَّبِّ وَالِاسْتِخْدَامِ لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. He said the fourth opinion, and this is his preference, this is his chosen opinion, the fourth opinion is that this hadith means that there will come a time where there will be a marked increase in disobedience and harm towards parents, where a young man and a woman will treat their mother and father as though they were the master and the parent was the slave, with respect to exploitation, usage, insult, and beating. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. He said, if you see this, then know that the day of judgment is near. Has this prophecy, in your estimation, come to pass? It seems so. How many parents will only fall asleep tonight, on this evening, only after they had drenched their pillows with tears of grief because of the burden that their children have become upon them in their life? How many parents have no dua to make, but, oh Allah Almighty, spare me the heartache that my son and my daughter is sending upon us? How many parents are complaining of the back talk of their children? They're complaining of the cold stares given to them by their children. Complaining of young men and women who see household duties as an obligation that they want to avert at any cost. They see children who walk around with this awful, this ugly sense of entitlement, walking around the house and posturing as though the world owes them something. Sense of entitlement. And what is amazing is that all of those parents will say the same thing. None of this would have been possible a decade ago. It has changed. No doubt the Prophet ﷺ has spoken the truth, and no doubt we are seeing this prophecy, at least in part, unfolding before our very eyes. And what is even more remarkable is that you will find some so-called practicing young men and women who will avoid al-kaba'ir, the major sins. They say, A'udhu billah, me, I have my doings and I've got my slip-ups, but major sins, no, I keep well away from them. Alcohol, A'udhu billah, never put it to my mouth. We'll never sell it, buy it, trade with it, never touch it. Abadan. Kabira, this is a major sin. Drugs, not at all. I know some people who deal with it. I'd never go near that stuff. This is kabira, this is a major sin. Zina, fornication, God forbid. I mean, my eyes wander a little bit from time to time, but to go the full length, no, a'udhu billah. Why? This is a kabir, it's a major sin. Interest, riba, a'udhu billah, I wouldn't go near it, it's a major sin. Yet the same Muslim may have no problem carrying out the most major of them all. What is it? Bukhari and Muslim narrate on the authority of Abu Bakra that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَلَا أُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِأَكْبَرِ الْكَبَائِرِ. Shall I not tell you of the most major of the major sins? The companions, they said, yes, O Messenger of Allah. And he gives them two. He said, الْإِشْرَاكُ بِاللَّهِ وَعُقُوقُ الْوَالِدَيْنِ. He said, to associate partners with Allah, جَلَّ جَلَالُهُ. The greatest of all sins, the only sin that Allah Almighty will never forgive and will cause eternity for a person in Jahannam. To associate a partner with Allah. And he said, number two, to be harmful towards your mother and father. How can it be, therefore, that I avoid every other sin? Yeah, this is the most major of them all. And I have no problem in raising my voice over the voice of my parents. Yet in the evening, I convinced myself that somehow I am a practicing Muslim. La ya akhi. You are upon the most major of all sins that brings about a consequence in the life of this world before the hereafter. Meaning, there are certain sins that Allah Almighty, through His mercy, and through His patience, through His forbearance, will delay the punishment of which for the hereafter. He will not bring about the punishment for it in the life of this world. It may be deferred to the Day of Judgment if somebody does not apologize to Allah before that. There are, however, another category of sins that Allah Almighty simply does not tolerate. And the consequence of them must come to a person in the life of this world. You have to see the effects of it on your life, on your health, on your money, on your children, on your home, in your mental well-being. You have to see the consequence in the life of this world before the hereafter. It won't be deferred. And that is why Al-Hakim narrates on the authority of Anas that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, بَابَانِ مُعَجَّلَانِ عُقُوبَتُهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا قَبْلَ الْآخِرَةِ الْبَغْيُ وَالْعُقُوقَ. He said that there are two sins, the punishment of which will be hurried in the life of this world before the hereafter. The first of them, al-baghi, oppression, tyranny. Allah Almighty has to bring retribution in dunya. And this is good news for us, no doubt, inshallah, in Palestine. What you see there from a killing machine that is hell-bent on flattening everything that moves there in Gaza and in the entire region, it seems, this cannot persist. It goes against the sunnah, the way of Allah Almighty in the universe. Al-baghi, oppression, is one of the two. And the second, causing harm to the mother and father. You have to see the outcome of it in the life of this world. There's no escaping it unless you fix the situation with a sincere apology to mother and father and tears of regret. Otherwise, it's a debt that you have accrued and it needs to be paid. So, oh, you who has perhaps slammed a door in the face of your father, rest assured the day will come when the door will be slammed in your face. Oh, you who has raised her voice over the voice of her mother because your mother is apparently nagging and doing your nut in, rest assured, take note of the date, take note of the place, take note of the event. There will come a time when your children will raise their voice over yours and you will remember that it is a debt that you are paying back. If you, God forbid, may Allah protect you, brothers, sisters, have become a burden upon the life of your mother or father in any way, shape or form, take note. You will be experiencing a similar burden, and more often than not, life tells us that that burden will be in the form of your own children. I remember there was also a study, this idea of being disrespectful to mother and father and suffering in dunya because of it. There were some studies that were done, a cohort study by the National Longitudinal Study of Youth. And they did a study of young men and women who were disrespectful to their parents as opposed to children who were respectful to their parents. And they observed their life successes. SubhanAllah. And they found that the children who were respectful to their mother and father, or the children who were disrespectful to their mother and father, were more likely to grow up to be depressed, anxious, 3 times more likely to be obese, more fragile, less healthy, and less creative. When is this? In Jahannam? No, in the life of this world. These are secular studies as compared to respectful children. So two sins Allah Almighty will hurry the punishment for them in the life of this world, i.e. unless not fixed today before tomorrow, oppression causing harm to mom and dad. It's a bad investment choice. And I remember one of our contemporary scholars, he shares a phenomenal story that he himself experienced in the streets of Egypt, and he himself is Egyptian. And he said, one day when I was walking through the streets of Cairo, I came across a crowd, huge crowd, commotion. And they had surrounded a young man. And it's like they wanted to beat him. And on the other side of the crowd was an old looking man with his hands on his face, and he was weeping his eyes out. So Sheikh comes and he penetrates the crowd and he says, what's going on? They said, Sheikh, can you believe it? This young man just slapped his dad across the face. and we're going to teach him a lesson. Perfectly normal here, perhaps in the West, to get away with something like this. Where we come from, no, that doesn't work like that. And I assume that's most of the cultures here represented in this room. We will deal with him. The Sheikh, he said, A'udhu Billah. And then the crowd, they said, one of them, young men from the crowd, he said, Sheikh, you know what is strange about all of this? Is that the moment we detained this young man and we were about to beat him, it was his dad who came and pushed us away and said, no, don't do it. Dad said, don't hit him. This is my son. And this is a debt that I am paying back to Allah Almighty. Because when I was a young man, I slapped my dad across his face in this exact spot. Now, it has to come sooner or later. So if your mother and father are still around, go and kiss their hands, go and kiss their feet, and plead for their forgiveness. And allow your fortunes to change, and Allah Almighty is willing to change. It doesn't have to be this as an outcome. And similarly, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, we will conclude with this hadith before we now start listing our ways towards our mother and father. Our mother Aisha narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Dakhaltu al-jannah," I once entered paradise. Allah Almighty knows when it was. Perhaps this was during his dream, or it could have been during the night journey. He said, I entered Jannah. فَسَمِعْتُ قِرَاءَةً, I heard the sound of Quran being recited in Jannah. Allahu Akbar. فَقُلْتُ مَنْ هَذَا, I said, who is this reciting Quran? They said, Al-Haritha ibn al-Nu'man. It is Al-Haritha ibn al-Nu'man. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, كَذَاكُمُ الْبِرُ كَذَاكُمُ الْبِرُ, this is the outcome of being good to your parents. That is the outcome of being good to your parents. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. What sent him to Jannah, reciting Quran? It was his dutifulness to his mother and father. So with this short introduction, and no doubt you can never give mom and dad their due justice in terms of praising them and speaking about them weeks on end. Moving on with this short introduction, we now speak about our ways towards our mother and father. What is it that is required of you and I towards mom and dad, whether they are alive or whether they have passed away? I know some of you here have experienced bereavement from one or both. And so, alhamdulillah, inshallah, you will not be excluded. Let us begin with four ways or four mannerisms towards our mother and father, if they are still with us, and this door to Jannah is still open. And we will speak about five, insha'Allah ta'ala, for those who have experienced a demise in either one of their parents or both. Our ways towards our parents, if they are, alhamdulillah, still alive. Number one, and take note, make them feel honored. I know it will come naturally to you as a son or as a daughter to honor your mom and dad if you feel that they deserve to be honored. If your parents have carried out their duties towards you as a good mom and dad, they've raised you well, then you don't need to be told to honor them, because that is a reflex in all of us. The challenge is for you to honor your mother and father when you feel deep down that they don't deserve it. Maybe your dad walked out on you when you were still a young man. Maybe your father was a little bit heavy-handed towards you. Maybe it was your mother. Maybe you were hurt by one of your parents or both. It doesn't come naturally to you to want to honor somebody who has caused you so much harm. I understand that. But here the proposition is that you and I are to honor them, not because we feel that they are worthy of honor or otherwise. We are to honor them because Allah Jalla Jalaluhu has instructed us to honor them, irrespective of how you may feel towards them. You are glorifying Allah Jalla Jalaluhu when you honor your mother and father, irrespective of how you may feel about them or what they may have done to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. One of the most profound ayat in the Quran in this department. Allah Almighty has decreed, he has instructed He has obligated that you worship only Allah Almighty. And He has decreed, He has instructed, He has obligated that you are good to your mother and father. Side by side. He said, إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ. It may be, Allah said, that one of them or both of them reach old age with you, so don't you ever even say to them, Uff. The Quran said, Uff. Don't even say to them, Uff. وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا. And do not shout at them. وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. And offer them an honorable word, a generous word. Then the Quran said, and look at this depiction. وَخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ ذُلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ. And lower to them your wing of humility from mercy. وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. And always say, My Lord, have mercy upon them both as they raised me when I was young. Make them feel honored. Zain al-Abideen, one of the grandsons of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was a man who was known to be incredibly dutiful and connecting to his mother. The only thing was that he would never be seen eating from the same plate as his mom. He would always insist on a separate plate. And they would ask him, you're one of the most kind people we know towards your mother. How come when it comes to food you eat from a separate dish? And he said the following words. He said, أَخَافُ أَخَافُ أَنْ تَسْبِقَ يَدِي إِلَى مَا سَبَقَتْ إِلَيْهِ عَيْنُهَا فَأَكُونُ قَدْ عَقَقْتُهَا. He said, because I fear that my hand should reach out for some of the food that her eye has already reached. And therefore, I would have disobeyed her in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. Incredible. And Muhammad ibn Sirin, who is one of the tabi'een, one of the servants of Anas ibn Malik, the servant of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to behave in a very unique and peculiar way in the presence of his mother. It was as if he was ill. And they observed him once sat in the presence of his mother as though he had been stung by a scorpion. They said to him, are you ill, ya Muhammad? And others, they said, no, he's not ill. وَلَكِنَّهُ هَكَذَا يَكُونُ إِذَا كَانَ عِنْدَ أُمِّهِ. This is how he behaves when he is sat in the presence of his mother, as though he is sat with a queen or a king. La ilaha illallah. So of course, this is naturally very different to those who may sit with their mother and father with their feet extended in the face of mom and dad. You've got your feet, you've got your soles, you've got your shoes in the face of your mother and father. And mom and dad may not tell you to put down your feet because they want you to be comfortable. But deep down they're thinking, I mean, is that what I'm worth? Or you may be on your phone. Your mom and dad crave your attention. You and I will not understand this craving for the attention of your child till you become a parent. And you're there on your phone, making it clear to mom and dad that I wish I wasn't here. I wish I was elsewhere. And because I cannot be elsewhere, I'll be online elsewhere, though I physically have to be here stuck with you. That's the message you're sending to mom and dad. The idea of making mom and dad feel honored is an act of ibadah, an act of worship. That also should influence the tone of voice when speaking to them and the modulation of your facial expressions when you're conversing with them. It's that sensitive. It is. The tone of voice. What was the ayah that we just recited? وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. Offer them an honorable word, Allah said. Offer them a generous word. Al-Qurtubi, he narrates in his tafsir, that Sa'id al-Musayyib was asked a question. I understand every verse in the Qur'an that speaks about honoring the mom and dad, except this one. قُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. Give them an honorable word or a generous word. What does it mean to offer mom and dad a generous word? I don't understand it. Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, he said, it is like the speech of a guilty slave who's been caught by a harsh master. It is like the speech of a guilty slave who has just been caught by a stern and harsh master. That's the type of way that you speak with mother and father. Now, I know it may be not possible to do this all of the time, but I want you to understand how our predecessors saw mom and dad. The tone of the voice is different when you speak with them. And that's why Abdullah ibn Awn, one of the predecessors, his mother called him. And he responded with a tone that was slightly louder than the tone of her voice when she called him. And he considered this a major sin. And so he freed two slaves as an atonement, as an expiation for the sin. She called him, Abdullah. And he said, yes, a few decibels higher than the decibels of his mother's call. For that, for him, this was a major sin. And he freed two slaves. And just for those who are unsure, the idea of freeing slaves in Islam is connected to the major sins in the religion. Like accidental killing, like matrimonial relations with your spouse during the fasting hours in Ramadan, you free slaves. Because Islam is using every opportunity to encourage freedom. For him, this was of that category. Astaghfirullah, what have I done? And he frees two slaves. So how would Abdullah ibn Awn have reacted if he saw some of the loud-mouthed and foul-mouthed behavior towards mother and father? Young man who is screaming at the top of his voice because the food is not what he expected, or the food was a little bit late, or because his socks were not arranged in his wardrobe. Or a young man or woman who are banging on the side of their car, hurry up, mom, God's sake, you're always so slow. And the poor lady is scrambling around the house, trying to get things together to spare herself from the wrath of her child. As a rule, take it as a rule, if your mother or father find themselves in need to change the tone of their voice when they speak with you and to adjust their facial expressions when speaking with you, know very well you have failed in the department of birr, and in the eyes of Allah, you are treading on extremely thin ice. So make them feel honored, even when it comes to the tone that you use with them and the facial expressions that you use. Facial expressions mean a lot. Al-Munawi, he said in his book, Faidul Qadir, listen to this, subhanallah. He said, Al-uququ kama annahu yakunu bil qawli wal fi'li fa kadhalika yakunu bil lahzi al-mush'ar bil ghadab. He said, disobedience to mother and father and harming them is possible by way of actions and words, and it is also possible by way of facial expressions that give off the vibe that you are upset. So uquq, this is also cutting off ties with your mother and father. Make them feel honored. And by the way, this idea of honoring mother and father also crosses over into this conversation about how to advise mom and dad if they're doing something wrong. How does a child offer advice to a parent when the parent is doing something genuinely sinful? Not what you think is sinful because of a booklet that you may have read, but something that is genuinely wrong and haram. How does a young man advise the parent? And it's something that the scholars have looked into. Why? Because the advisee, the one who is receiving the advice, usually feels that the advisor is speaking from a higher playing field. So how do you do this when Allah Almighty said about parents, وَخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ, lower your wing of humility to them. And now I'm supposed to go higher and advise them. How do we do it? It perplexed the scholars. So Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, for example, he said, he gave a short answer to this problem. He said, لَيْسَ الْأَبُو كَالْأَجْنَبِي. When advising your father, it's not like advising anybody else. Sort it out. Be polite. But just realize your dad is not like anyone else. Al-Ghazali, rahimahullah, in his Ihya, he said that advice is of five categories, five levels. Only two is suitable for mom and dad. The other three do not befit them. You can't. The first is martabatu ta'rif, the level of giving information. That's suitable for mom and dad. Just give information. The second level is martabatu al-wa'd al-latif, the level of gentle advice. He said the other three levels are simply not befitting for mother and father because their status is too high. And as for Imam Malik rahimahullah, he said, you can enjoin good and you can forbid them from evil. He said, however, listen, وَيُخْفَضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ فِي ذَلِكَ. You lower your wing of humility from mercy as you do so. Where did he get this expression from? The Quran. So what was our way or adab number one? What is it, my brothers? Make them feel honored. Number two, rush to their service. Everything you possess from your time or your wealth or your sweat or your effort or your resources, the worthiest of them, your mother and father, especially for you, my brother. Abdullah ibn Umar, he comes across a man in Mecca, circumambulating around the Kaaba, doing his tawaf, and he's carrying his mother on his back. Look at that. And this man was saying, إِنِّي لَهَا بَعِيرُهَا الْمُذَلَّلَ. I am her camel. I am her camel. And then he turns to Abdullah ibn Umar and he said, أَتُرَانِي جَزَيْتُهَا يَا ابن عمر. Do you think that I've paid her back? Have I fulfilled my responsibility towards mom? Look at what I am doing. I'm carrying her on my back and I'm helping her with her pilgrimage in this way. And I'm calling myself her camel. He said to him, لا ولا بزفرة من زفراتها. You haven't, my brother, even paid back a single one of the contractions that she felt when she delivered you. Far from it. And Amr, the son of Maymun ibn Mahran, is walking with his father until they come across a puddle of water. His dad is too ill and too old to walk through that water. So Amr, he crouches down onto all fours, making himself into a human bridge, allowing his father to walk over his back. This is birr. This is dutifulness to mom and dad. And one of the predecessors by the name of Abu Umar was asked about his son, Dhar. How does Dhar behave with you? And he said, put it like this. Whenever we walk together in the night, he's walking in front of me. And when we are walking by day, he is walking behind me. And when we are in a building, he will never go upstairs and stand above me. Ya Salaam. And Haywa ibn Shuraih, who was nicknamed Abu Zur'ah, the famous scholar of hadith from the Tabi'een, he'd be in a class like this, teaching the students hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Zur'ah was a real star in the community. Then his mother would come and she would say, Ya Haywa, qum, at'im al-dajaj. Haywa, get up, go and feed the chickens. And he wouldn't be, you know, arrogant or embarrassed. And he'd make his way and he'd put the seeds or the food for the chicken. Rush to their service. We're going to speak about this in detail in a moment. Number three, accept their counsel. Accept the advice that comes to you from mom and dad. There's going to come moments, or there will be moments in your life, when you will need to make both minor and major decisions that have serious consequence on your future. The intelligent one, the muwaffaq, the guided one, is a person who consults his mother and father with these aspects. And don't for one moment make your mother and father feel that they are somehow backward, stuck in a different time zone, in a different generation. The world that they live in is still black and white with the Flintstones and dinosaurs. Therefore, what's the point of asking them for advice? They don't know what I'm going through. They don't understand the 21st century. Don't be that person. Be that person who consults your mother and father on the minor and the major and accept their counsel as much as you can. And if you really feel that you need to go against them because there are conflicting opinions now about who you're going to marry, where you're going to work, or how you're going to invest, and so on, then at least do your level best to convince them, to win over their heart, so that you do not lose them, so that you don't make them feel dishonored and disrespected. And wherever possible, caveat, wherever possible, for you to forego what you think is ideal and to accept their opinion, though you're not too sure about it, realize that the promise of Allah is وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Whoever is conscious of Allah Almighty, He will provide for him a way out of every problem, and He will provide for him from places where he least expects. We have seen this time and time again, young men and women who give up, who forfeit their opinion, though they may want it. But it's going to lose. They will lose the respect of their mother and father. They will lose the affection of mom and dad. So they give up what they want and what they feel is right. And they go with what mom and dad want. And more often than not, Allah will bless this person and bless their decision sooner or later. Abdul Wahhab al-Warraq had a son by the name of Hassan. Hassan wanted to go to a business trip in Samurra in Iraq. His father did not want him to go because Iraq was going through political turmoil at the time. He said to him, "Son, I heard you're going to Samurra." He said, "Yes, Dad, it's a business trip." He said, "If you go, I'm not speaking to you again. I don't want you to go." He said, "فَأَطَعْتُهُ فَلَمْ أَخْرُجْ وَجَلَسْتُ." I obeyed him. I gave up the business deal and I stayed at home. He said, "فَرَزَقَنِ اللَّهُ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ." Allah Almighty provided so much after that. فَأَكْثَرَ رَبِّي, and Allah gave me abundance. فَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ, so all praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers, sisters, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows of the pain that goes through the heart of your father when you endeavor to make him feel that he is backward and disconnected from your reality today. He tries to convince you, but you are going out of your way to prove to him why you should reject his counsel and why you know more than he does. And every now and then you will fire at him some complicated words just to prove to him that you don't know what they mean, so you got to trust me on this one. And only Allah Almighty knows, my sister, of the pain that your mother experiences when you, for example, mock her taste in clothes. You say to her, "Oh, mom, you don't know how to pick clothes. So-and-so auntie, so-and-so cousin has much better taste than you." Now for you, that's just a passing comment. But that may injure your mother. You know why? Because what you may have forgotten is that which your mother still remembers. Your mother still remembers the days when she used to carry you from shop to shop, ensuring that you're going to wear the best attire, the best clothes, so that the kids in school don't laugh at you. And now that you've reached your full age of maturity, you are doing to your mother the very thing she sought to protect you from. So accept their counsel. Consult them. Even on the small things, my brother. Consult them. "Could I buy a new phone, Dad? Samsung, iPhone, what do you think?" Consult him. For you, it's a passing consultation. For him, it's, "Ya Allah, he remembers me. He still respects me." Consult him. "I need your opinion, Father. This university or that university, advise me. Dad, they're offering me a promotion. Should I take it? You think I should look elsewhere for a different job? I don't want to get too entrenched in this one. Advise me, Dad, I need your counsel. Advise me. I'm looking to buy a home. What's the best model, the best scheme out there, Dad? What do you think?" "Well, I don't know, son." "Okay, you've done your bit. You've consulted him. Consult him." "Alhamdulillah, it's a boy. The scan said it's a boy, Dad. It's a girl. What do you suggest for names, Dad? What do you suggest for names, Mom? Help us out, because your opinion means the world to me. I can't function without your opinion." Consult them. That's part of your connection with Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. This is point number what? Point number three. What's number one? Make them feel honored. Because you may honor them, but they don't interpret it as honor. You got to make sure they register it as honor. What's number two? Rush to their service. Number three? Accept their counsel. Number four? Be an initiative taker. Dr. Salman, how long have we been speaking? Not long enough? Allahu Akbar. Good answer. So I think you've made up for that earlier conversation we had outside. Be an initiative taker. You and I, if we live long enough, we will have to experience the day of parting between mother and father. Parting, I mean death. And in my short time here on this planet, and my conversations with those who've lost parents, I've come to realize that one of the many regrets that people have after they've bade farewell to mother or father or both is how stupid they were as children that they believed their mum and dad when they said, "No thanks, darling, I don't need anything." You said to them, "Baba, Mama, do you need anything?" And then they said, "Barakallahu feekum, we're good. Everything is all right." And you believed them. You walked away, patting yourself on the back, as though you fulfilled your duty towards mother and father. You deceived yourself into thinking that you'd carried out your duty towards them on that day. And only when you became a parent, you realized the lie, with all due respect to our mothers and fathers, the lie that they told us when they said, thank you, I don't need anything. No, they did need things. They did. They needed a whole host of things, but it's the knee-jerk reaction of mother and father. It's the parental fitra, the disposition, to prefer you over themselves, to put your needs ahead of themselves. The first thing that you realize as a parent is this lie that your parents were told you when you said to them, do you need anything? And they said, no, thank you. I don't need anything. And now that we have become adults, we somehow feel the sense of entitlement that we are worthier of the offerings of life now. Mom and dad are old. They've lived their life to the fullest. They're mature. They're not into tech and money anymore. They're not into fancy food and dessert anymore. It's about me and my kids now. It's about us. We are the ones who need to be taken care of. They need to spend on us because they've lived life to the full. Be an initiative taker. Don't wait for your father to come to you and say, Baba, I need help with something. Shame on us. Shame on us if we have to leave it to a point where mom and dad need to come and take the initiative without you, through your intelligence, through your intuition, to realize before they even need to speak about their need. Take the initiative. See what they require. Take a walk through the house of your parents. Peel your eyes. Be vigilant, be smart, be perceptive. What do they need? Don't wait for them to ask. The banisters, do they need a quick dust down? The carpet that you're walking on, your parents' home, is it a little bit worn out? It's time to replace their carpet for them. Why don't you and your siblings come together and renovate their bathrooms, renovate their kitchens without them needing to ask? Take the initiative. Go into your father's wardrobe, if this is appropriate, that is. And see, does he need a new bundle of socks? What does he need? Has your father's favorite aftershave run out? What do they require? Don't wait for mom and dad to come and present their needs to you. And you never believe them. The moment they say to you, Shukran Habibi, Barakallah Feek, we don't need anything. We've agreed that we will not accept this from them. Take the initiative and beware of thinking that somehow now you are worthier of the offerings of life. No, your father still appreciates a new phone. Your father still into tech. And your mother still likes the latest perfumes. They do. And they appreciate new items in the kitchen. And they appreciate food. And they appreciate dessert just as much as you do. And they are not any less in the hierarchy of worthiness than you and your kids are. You've traveled around the world. You've had a few vacations. You've got one or two homes to your name. What about your mother and father? Enrich them. Don't wait for them to ask. Beware of thinking or being deceived by the mature demeanor of your mother and father. I mean, you look at them. They're so calm. They're so honorable. They're so respectable that you end up forgetting that behind all of this very prestigious facade is a child at the heart of your parent, in the heart of every human being. No matter what you become in life through scholarship or age or experience, there is still in the heart of every one of us a child that loves to be pampered, that loves to be taken care of, loves to be honored and spoiled. Your parents, now that they've hit the age of 60 or 70 or 80, you think they're an exception to this now? They don't need this. No, they need it. But it's their fitra to never ask. And even if your mother and father have asked something of you, realize there's 10 other things that they have not asked. Because their nature is to provide your life to take care of yours, even if it comes at their expense. This is number 4. Take the initiative. For those of us whose parents may have passed away, one or the other, may Allah Jalla Jalaluhu give them al-firdaws al-ala and pardon their sins. You may be thinking to yourself, Ya Rab, how much of this lecture applies to me? One of the widest doors of Jannah has now closed before me. I say to you, Alhamdulillah, Allah Almighty's rahmah, His mercy is vast. and it encompasses you as well, though your parents may not be with you today. And there are still ways to honor them, to glorify Allah Almighty through this phenomenal opportunity called mother and father, even though they may have passed away and they are 6 feet under. How? Listen to the hadith of Abu Usaid Malik ibn Rabi'ah, who, by the way, is the last of the warriors of the Battle of Badr to die. His name is Abu Usaid Malik ibn Rabi'ah. He narrates and says, بينما نحن جلوس عند رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذ جاء رجل من بني سلمة. Whilst we were sat with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, a man from the tribe of Salama came into the gathering, and he asked a phenomenal question. He said, يا رسول الله, O Messenger of Allah, هل بقي من بر أبوي أبرهما به بعد موتهما. O Messenger of Allah, is there any way I can still be good to my mother and father even though they have died? Ya Salah. He said to him, yes. And he gives them a schedule of 5 items. Take note of them. He said, الصلاة عليهما, to make dua for them. والاستغفار لهما, and to ask Allah Almighty to forgive their sins. وَإِنْفَاذُ عَهْدِهِمَا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمَا, and to carry out their final wishes before they died. وَصِلَةُ الرَّحِمِ الَّتِي لَا تُوصَلُ إِلَّا بِهِمَا, and to uphold your family ties that you now have because of them. وَإِكْرَامُ صَدِيقِهِمَا, and to honor their friends. Yes, sir. Make dua for them. Never forget your mother and father in your dua. When you're doing your witr salah, when you are prostrating, when you're drinking zamzam, when you're circumambulating around the Kaaba, when you are in the depths of the night in the last third calling upon Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, when you are walking to the masjid, when you are traveling, when you are ill, between adhan and iqamah, every moment where dua is answered before the sun sets on a Friday, make abundant dua for your mother and father, lest Allah Almighty may send you children who will remember you in dua when you need it most and you're no longer around to do good deeds. Dua for them. The second one was to ask Allah to forgive their sins. So this is also dua, but it's a specific dua pertaining to the sins they may have committed. Ya Rabbi, pardon them. Ya Rabbi, forgive them. Ya Rabbi, they didn't know. Ya Rabbi, they didn't have access to knowledge and lectures like we did. Ya Rabbi, have mercy upon them. That's number two. Number three was what? Carrying out their final wishes before they passed away. Number four, to maintain the family ties that you still have because of them. You are a Hammuda, or you are a Sa'id, or you are a Mia, or you are a Khan, because of your mother and father. And number five, this is a beautiful one, subhanAllah, as well, which is to honor their friends. There were people that your father used to love being around. There were friends that your mother used to love their company. You honor them as though they are your parents now. Why? Because they were connected to your mother and father. And I remember, subhanAllah, a family member, he wasn't a family member, he was an Egyptian friend, who used to come to us from Western Supermare to Bristol on almost a weekly basis with all of his sons and visit my grandfather, Muhammad Ali, rahimahullah. Weekly basis, he did this for years. And he would bring him gifts and he would do his shopping and he didn't need any of it because we were around, alhamdulillah. I said to my dad one day, why is Dr. So-and-so so keen to visit my grandfather? I mean, what is it? Is it just niceness or is there something that I'm missing here? He said, no, his dad used to honor your grandfather. His dad used to be close friends with your grandfather, so he wants to maintain the friends of his father as a continuation to his dutifulness to his dad now that he has died. Allahu Akbar. I'm going to conclude, brothers, with some practical suggestions moving forward. Take note of these 5 or 6 practical suggestions for you to go home with in terms of how to bring happiness to the heart of your mother and father. The first of them, very quickly, praise them to their face. Alhamdulillah, I passed an exam. This is by Allah's tawfiq, the new mom and dad. Alhamdulillah, my investment finally is bringing a return. This is by Allah's tawfiq, his aid. Then it's because of you, mother and father. You are praised in any one of your circles in public. This is by Allah's fadl, O mother and father, his bounty. And then because of your nurturing of me. You write a book. you put in the foreword after praising Allah, a thank you to your mother and father. Praise them, make them feel worthy. Attribute all of your success to Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, and then to your mother and father, and make them know that is how you feel. That's number one. Take that away. You can start that today. Number two, give a sadaqah on behalf of your mother and father and show it to them. That could be an orphanage that you build in their name, a masjid that you build in their name, a well that you dig in their name, or a sponsor, an orphan that you sponsor in their name. And these charities, may Allah reward them, they provide this service, I'm sure some of you have seen it, where whatever well is dug, they can provide a plaque with your name of the beneficiary, the name of the beneficiary. Show that to your mother and father. Show those poor people who are benefiting from the water with the name of your mom or dad or both on it. And I can guarantee you that they will shed as many tears as there are drops of water in that well. They will make dua for you, and that moment of happiness in their heart may be your entry to Jannah. That's number two. Give a sadaqah on their behalf. Number three, when they are speaking with you, pay attention. Get off your phone, my brother, my sister, please. And look at them in the face. I know this seems basic and straightforward, but wallahi, we fall short on the basics at times. Make eye contact with them. Ensure that your body is facing them. Nod as they speak. Give them the reassurance that we've synchronized. I hear what you say. Modulate your facial expressions to show them I'm interested. I'm benefiting from what you're saying. Ask them questions to elaborate on certain things that they said. Reassure them that you're listening to every word they say. If your father gives you advice, thank him for the advice and tell him how life-changing it has been. If your father shares with you a story, tell him how profound the story was. If your mother and father tell you something that you already know, don't say, yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. Don't do that. Pretend as though it's the first time you hear it. Make them feel very valued as they speak and remove every distraction. Number what? Number four. Give huge attention to calling them and the calls that they give you. If you're unable to visit them on a daily basis or every other day, then try to call them on a daily basis, wherever applicable. And when you call your father or mother, don't give them the impression that you can't wait until you get off the phone. Don't make it a cold and boring conversation with long silences. Speak with them with warmth and engage. And when your mother or father calls you, never prioritize anything that you are doing at that moment over the call of your mother and father. And you are aware of what happened to Juraij, the worshipper, who delayed the call of his mother whilst he was in prayer, and the horrible consequence he faced as a result of that. And what was distracting him was salah, not his wife or her husband or food or entertainment. It was salah, and yet you know the repercussions of what happened because he delayed the call of his mother. Anything that you are doing at that time steps aside and makes space for your mother and father when they call. Your entire world comes to a pause when you see the name of mom and dad appearing on your phone. That's number what? Number four. Number five, be very perceptive to the needs of your parents. We alluded to this earlier. Be smart, be intelligent. Don't wait for them to need to ask anything of you. You're sat in a gathering. You're all sat on the couches, on the sofas. Your dad comes into the room. Don't wait for your father to say, is there any space for me, ya Habibi? Get up. I'm offering the finest space in the room. If your father sat in the room and you see his eyes moving from side to side, don't wait for him to talk. Read him. Baba, what do you need? Cushion? Pillow? What do you require? Tea? Coffee? It's on me. What do you need, Baba? Tayyib? You're eating with them. Don't wait for your mom to reach out. Bring everything near them. Near them. What do you need? Then your father does this as he's eating. Baba, what do you need? Tissues? Tissues. Here's the tissues. Serve them as though they are kings and queens. And don't wait for them to vocalize a need. Read it, be smart, be intelligent. You're sat in a gathering. Be near your father. Nobody in that gathering is more important than your dad. When your friends come in, introduce them. This is my father, this is the main man. Here he is, it's my dad. tea, coffee, you're serving it. You begin with your father. You begin with your parent before anybody else. Be perceptive, be aware, be vigilant, be smart. Read them. Don't just hear them. Read their needs. Interpret it, extrapolate, preempt. That's number what? Number five. Number six. When you come to your parents' house, come with a gift. A lot of us, we come to mom and dad's house as though to say we're here to eat. What's in the kitchen, mom? Comfort eating. Nothing like your mother's kitchen, no doubt. And your parents are very happy, don't get me wrong, to see you coming. Even if it's for you just to eat. But send the right message by coming in with a gift, because there's not a better breakfast. It's your parents' house. Give them a gift. And I know that anybody else will be looking at the price tag. Your parents are the only ones who will not look at the price tag. It's invisible. They can't see it. A pound and a thousand is the same. Why? Because it's come from you. It's come from you. Anybody else in life who you try to please and make them happy, the bar only gets higher and higher. And so if the next gift you buy does not outshine the gift before it, it's lost its value. Parents don't operate like that. Why? I tell you why. This is the mentality of a parent. Allahu Akbar. For a lifetime, your mother and father have been giving you unconditionally. They have provided you everything they have in their name and disposal without asking anything back. Therefore, when you become an adult, your parents are always looking for the evidence to suggest that you remember that. And if it's a small gift, worthless in your eyes, those on the other side see it as the world. Why? Because it's a sign that you remember what I have done for you and you still appreciate me and I'm part of your life. And here is what is amazing. Ya Allah, take note of this. Ya Shabab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure is connected to two people who are the easiest to please in the life of this world. Did you get this? Allah's rida, Allah's acceptance of you, Al-Firdaws al-A'la, the highest places in Jannah, is connected to two people who happen to be the easiest in this world to please, mom and dad. So how ignorant, how unblessed, how wretched is a person who fails to enter Jannah through a door that is wide open, yet never has the hidayah, the guidance, to walk through it. And one of the ways of doing this, one of them anyways, is to offer a small symbolic gift to mom and dad every now and then when you visit them, because they see the Chanels, you know, they see the Armanis, it's coming into your wife. Your mother, your mom stays quiet, I know. There's something in her heart that says, what about me? What about me? No one is worthier than your mother and father. Brothers and sisters, this is the end. In conclusion, allow me just to say the following words. Cherish them, ya Shabab, cherish them. Lest a day come, and it will come, when you realize that the loss of mother and father is irreplaceable. Nothing can take their place. And for many people, it has to be death that reminds them of this reality. If your parents need you today, and it's causing you a bit of a headache, remember that there was a time in the past when your need for them was far greater than their need for you will ever be. Remember that. If mom and dad are a little bit annoying today because they're asking of some of your money, remember that there came a time when you asked something much more from your parents. You asked for their undivided attention. You ask for their youth. You ask for a space in the womb, in the body of your mother. You asked for your mother's blood. You asked for her calcium from her bones. And your back became straight at the expense of her back that arched. Your muscles became strong at the expense of their bones that decreased in density. And your hair became thick, mashallah, and lush at the expense of her hair that has now become so thin. You've drained them. You've asked for all of these things from them, and you asked of their youth, and you asked of their money. What is it, therefore, when father says to you, can you deliver this for me? Your wife says, your mother says, can you deliver this for me? You get agitated, ya Rab, I don't have time, I gotta go. And you just forgot at that moment that when your mother delivered you, she saw death, she looked it in the eyes. She screamed in agony. because you'd spent 9 months kicking her in the ribs. She was already sore from inside, taking from her. And if anybody had behaved with you and caused you a fraction of the harm that you caused and I caused to my mother, you'd hate them forever. You'd cut them off forever, wallahi. It was just a few seconds after your mother saw you, this complete stranger who's caused me so much pain for 9 months and kicking me inside out and didn't allow me to stand or sit or lie down or eat, and I was vomiting. Seconds, 1-2 seconds, she sees him. She falls in love and she has no way to express it but to bring her close to her chest, never wanting to separate you from her. That's your mother. When you cried, her world came crashing down. And when you smiled, it was as if the universe was smiling at her. When you were ill, she stayed next to you, nursing you, bringing down your temperature until dawn. And she never complained. And this is the secret why you and I can never repay our mothers and fathers. Because when you are a child, they took care of you whilst really hoping for your long life. And today, as you take care of them, you are doing it, hiding a desire for their death. It's a reality for so many people. And we will be convinced at times by shaitan that there are other people who love us more than our parents. Whether it's my wife, my husband, my friends, the guys I chill with, the guys I trade with. That's the greatest illusion in the human experience. When money begins to fade, and charm begins to fade, and attraction disappears, and your success disappears, you look around you, everybody who claimed to love you unconditionally have disappeared as well. And there's only two people left in the distance, willing to give you a second chance, though you had always placed them second place. That's the mother and father. Ajeeb. And lastly, I will tell you this. There may be some sins in your life that you have committed, my brother, my sister, that you are very afraid of meeting Allah Almighty with. Whatever that sin may be. And I know it chastises you, it bothers you a lot, because you've repented and you've changed your ways. And you've tried to erase those sins through Hajj. You've tried to erase those sins through repentance. You've tried to erase those sins through Salah. Well done, and keep doing that. But I would like to make one final proposition, and that is to erase any sin of the past that grieves you through honoring your mother and father. And that is why a man came to Abdullah ibn Abbas and he said to him, I've committed a major sin. He said, what did you do? He said, I proposed to a woman for marriage and she rejected me. So I walked away. Then another man came and proposed to her for marriage. She accepted. This broke my heart. I became jealous. And I killed her. Can Allah Almighty forgive me? He said to him, is your mother alive? He said, no, she's passed away. He said, then repent to Allah Almighty and ask for His mercy. Ata ibn Yasar, who is the narrator of this incident, he said to Ibn Abbas after this conversation finished, he said, why did you ask him about his mother? He said to him, Inni la a'lamu amalan aqraba ila Allahi min birri al-walida. Because I do not know of any deed that is nearer to Allah Almighty than honoring the mother. And Ahmad and Makhul and others have said, Birru al-walidayni kaffaratun lil-kabair. Honoring the parents is a means of wiping away the major sins. Treat your track record of sin that you and I no doubt have by going to your mother, kissing her feet, massaging her feet, kissing her head, doing the shopping of the parents, and preempting their needs with the niyyah, not only that you are glorifying Allah Almighty most importantly, but you are also dealing with a heavy luggage of sin that you're not ready to meet Allah Almighty with on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy upon our mothers and fathers. We ask Allah Almighty to inspire them to be pleased with us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy over those parents of ours who've beaten us to the grave. May Allah Almighty elevate their rank and forgive their sins and fill their qubur, their graves, with light and rahmah and barakat and khairat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them for all what they have offered us in this world. And may Allah Almighty honor them on Yawm Al-Qiyamah and allow them to be in the company of our beloved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Alhamdulillah.